Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements with black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Fuck coins, hell pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Fuck coins, hell pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Only God can judge me.
That right?
Only God, man. Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Really?
Perhaps I was blind to the facts. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own homies. Just a bunch of dirty rats. Well, I succeed. Paranoid from the weed. And hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's gone, tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped at birth, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the earth. And they say it's the white man I severe. But it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. In all my memories, I'm seeing brothers bleed. And everybody grieves, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix. Cause the media's full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, baby.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
I hear the doctor standing over me, screaming I can make it. Got a body full of bullet holes, laying here, neck and filler. Can't breathe, something's evil in my IV. Cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up strangling, dangling my bed sheets. I call a nurse cause it hurts to reminisce. How did it come to this? I wish they didn't miss. Somebody help me, tell me where to go from here. Cause even thugs cry, but do the Lord care? Trying to remember, but it hurts. So I'm walking through the cemetery, talking to the dirt. I'd rather die like a man than live like a coward. There's a ghetto up in heaven in the towers. Black power is what we dream as we dream in a paranoid state. And our fate is a lifetime of hate. Dear mama, can you save me? And fuck peace, cause the street got our baby. We gotta eat, no more hesitation. Each and every black male trapped. And they wonder why we suicidal, running round strapped. Mr. Police, please try to beat it. It's a million motherfuckers dressing just like me. Only God can judge. Only God can judge. Only God can judge.
That which does not kill me can only make me stronger. For real. I don't see why everybody feel as though they gotta tell me how to live my life.
You know?
Let me live, baby. Let me live.
Pac, I feel ya. Keep serving it on the real. For instance, say a player hating Mark about to kill ya. Would you be wrong for bucking a nigga to the pavement? He gon' get me first if I don't get him. Start praying. Ain't no such thing as self-defense in the court of laws or judges. When we get to where we're going, we're in the cross. That's real. Got him, missed him, crept the fuck up on him. Sold a half a million tips. Now everybody want him. After talking behind my back like a bitch would. Telling them niggas you could face. Punk, I wish you would. Be the same motherfuckers in your face. That'll rush up in your place to get your safe. Knowing you on that paper safe. Grass, glass, big screen and leather couch. My new shit is so pretty, I already sold the key an ounce. Bitch, remember Tupac and Forte? Them same two brothers, dodging rulers, representing the base. Pop when you was locked down, that's when I'll be around. Start climbing up the trunk, so sick, but they tried to clown. That's why they ride the bandwagon, still be dragging, selling lies. Don't think I don't see you haters, I know y'all in the sky.
Guess you figure you know me cause I'm a thug. That love to hit the late night club, drinks and buns. Been living lavish like a player all day. Now I'm about to blow some ball players, stick with Forte. Only God can judge. Only God can judge. Only God can judge. That's real. Only God can judge. 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 Only God, man.
RBGs. You know what I mean? It's war. You know what I mean? Yo, Stick. I mean, you should be real on war. The block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. Run you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gap battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kiss versus Beans or P versus Hov? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DP, don't you forget. Cause you could talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all goes down. It's not Pop versus Big, it's who's getting the power. And power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war. Know what I mean? Yeah. Rap war, whatever war. You live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead Prez, the People Radio. Yeah.
Woman, if it were not for what is called Africa today,
there would be no Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, and the so-called world's religions. All of the religious leaders pray in this manner as they end. The Christian says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And he goes on and on, and when he ends this prayer, he says, amen. What does he say? Amen. The Hebrew, the rabbi, when he prays, hallelujah, kadima, kadima, ya'um milah, when he finishes, he says, amin. What does he say? Amin. The Islamic imam says, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he goes on, and he goes on. And when he finishes his dua, his salat, some point of the dua, somewhere along the way, he says, I mean, he says what? I mean who? I mean Ra. Amen Ra. All of the world's major religious leaders and those who stand in front of the people to lead them in the prayer service, all of them end in Amen, in the name of the great God of our ancestors. Amen. Amen. Ra. The hidden one. The hidden one. The prime moving, creative, regenerative.
Goes back to African people's genius thousands of years ago. Our ancestors, from their empirical observation of the universe, we mapped out the stars. We were not just standing around. Europeans, when are you going to come and teach us about astronomy? Asians, when are you going to come teach us about astrology? This was already known by African people thousands of years ago. Our ancestors called it the early African cosmic clock, where Neter stayed in each constellation for 2,155 years, making up what is known as the great year of 26,000 years. That means we had to observe it at least twice, brothers and sisters, over 50,000 years ago. Somebody knows something about an African ancestral genius thousands of years ago that they don't want you to know about yourself. They're still trying to write out Africa. For instance, Wallace Budge, the wisdom of the Egyptians, or Kemetic Africans, astronomy. Until the Egyptians came under the influence of Asiatics, okay, nations and the Greeks, their notion of astronomy were very limited, and their stargazers were unable to define the length of the year correctly. Here our ancestors had the three seasons in 4 months apiece, like Akkad, Pert, and Shamu. They gave us the earliest calendar. This is long before the Greeks. Let's go to Herodotus, that Robert Babal even talks about, 485 to 425 BC. It is in Heliopolis that the most learned of the Egyptians or Kemetic Africans are to be found. All agree in saying that Egyptians, by their study of astronomy, discovered the solar year and were the first to divide it into 12 parts. And in my opinion, their method of calculation is better than the Greeks. The name of nearly all the gods came to Greece from Kemet. So this is Herodotus, a Greek saying that they got this astronomy from the Kemetic Africans. Black Spark, White Fire, Dion Christonomos points out in 30 AD, also point out the Egyptian priests mocked the Greeks because on many things they have never known the truth. What seems to be clear is that the Egyptian priests were regarded by the Greeks as the keepers of great astronomical wisdom. In the days of the 4th dynasty, the primitive Greeks would have appeared as barbarians and other Europeans as no more than cavemen by the sophisticated and technologically advanced Egyptians who built the pyramids. So here, that's why brothers still want to be a Greek, brand themselves, because we think that's the beginning. Now recently, this European named Robert Wuval recently wrote his book. He gave a lot of credit to Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, peace be upon him. But although he didn't acknowledge some of the other warrior scholars like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark, he's giving a black genesis, a prehistoric origin of ancient Egypt. But brothers and sisters, let's understand that although he speaks of Neptuplia, the southwestern part of Egypt, he says this is the origin of black Egypt. That's the front room of the house. That's not the whole house, brothers and sisters. So even though Robert Wuval And some of us are talking about Robert Revolve's Neptoplier, but the point is, it goes much further back than that. He's talking about these astronomical stones right here in south part of Egypt, with ceremonial stones where our ancestors connected to celestial and terrestrial events. From that spiritual connection, our ancestors knew this from the dawn of time. Let's go back to Ethiopia. We're deep in the house now. We're not in the front room. This is the mother of Egypt.
Confused. Because the capitalist system has cut off our history, they think that we have no history. They really think that our history began in slavery. If you will look at all textbooks in this country, even on the college level, history textbooks, there's nothing said about Africa in these textbooks at all. I mean, Africa is just left out. Like it doesn't exist at all. Just like our history. Thus, most Africans who do not take time as a conscious people to come to understand their history, in fact, begin their history when the white man came and discovered us as slaves. Certainly, the indigenous people of this country think that their history began with Columbus, they would be in serious trouble. They who properly know their history know that the indigenous people of this country raised civilizations, the heights of which European powers have not yet arrived at. Consequently, these people have this to hold on to, and they know as long as they hold on to it and fight, they will come back to the grandeur that was once theirs. No people can begin their history in slavery. No people. God has never created anybody in slavery. All people are first created free, then they are enslaved. So that any African beginning their history in the United States of America is a stupid African beginning their history in slavery. And if you begin your history in slavery, the best you can hope to be is a good slave. Indeed, if you begin your origins in slavery, where's the inspiration to fight? A people who were enslaved must know at one time they were free. It is only when they know at one time they were free that they will be motivated by the responsibility which history imposes upon them to struggle to be free again. Any African wanting to know about their history and using their history as a weapon to fight must begin their history in Africa. There's no other place. It was only in Africa that we were free. Thus, it is in Africa that we must begin our history. Once we see in Africa how we were free, then we will come to see who imposed slavery upon us. We will come to know directly who is the enemy, what must be done to return to a stage of freedom again. Thus, in the struggle for liberation, Africa is indispensable to us as our historical...
When you look at that man, you're supposed to see him for exactly what he is. And if you want to know what he is, examine his deeds. Forget his words. He got a whole lot of pretty sounding words. Watch his deeds. His deeds are like the deeds of a snake, the deeds of a serpent, the deeds of a dragon, the deeds of a reptile, the deeds of a beast. Why, nothing but a race of beasts would take dogs and stick them on little black babies. Nothing but a race of beasts will stick dogs on black children and black women. Nothing but a race of beasts. And it is these deeds today that's causing the wrath of God to come down upon the head of the white man. And when you see him as he is and see how much hell he's catching, you're out of his mind to want to be with him. You're out of your mind to want to integrate with him. And you're really out of your mind if you take time to forgive him and ask God to have mercy on him. No, ask God to judge him. Ask God to do unto him as he has done unto you. He has caused your babies to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering upon his babies. He has caused your women to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering on his women. He has caused all of our people to suffer. You can't deny that. You may not like my saying it, but you can't deny it. Why, you got scars and knots on your head from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And every one of those scars is evidence against the American white man and his hidden inhumanity to man. The Civil War was also fought on this continent, not to free the black slave, as is commonly taught in the white man's schools, but the Civil War was actually fought to preserve the Union, preserve this country, keep it intact for white people. It wasn't fought to set you free. It wasn't fought to give you some kind of emancipation. It wasn't fought to make you a citizen. It wasn't fought to give you civil rights. It wasn't fought because they respected you and loved you as a human being. It was fought out of greed. It was fought out of selfishness. It was fought to keep this country intact for their own white selves. In essence, this only means that the American white man fought the Revolutionary War to get this country for himself. And he then fought the Civil War to keep this country intact for himself. And today, he will now fight a race war to keep from having to share this white country on an equal basis with anyone else but his white self, especially on an equal basis with his 20 million former slaves. So again, I ask, where will all of these demonstrations end? And who dares to say that our people are not justified by demonstrating their resentment over the injustice and mistreatment that our people have suffered these 400 years.
Power Black, Power Black, Power Family, you're live here on New Black Panther Party Radio, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad, here on day 521. Our Thursday night Pan-African broadcast. You are here live with your host, National Chief of Staff, Brother Katib Sadiq. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Press the number 1, and you join us in our live discussion here on our regular Thursday night Pan-African broadcast, where every Thursday night we take our time to focus in on the continent and all throughout the African diaspora. And we're joined, as we are every Thursday, by our brother, our special guest co-host every Thursday night, Brother Eugene Talford. Can you hear me, brother? Black power.
Yeah, black power, brother. One love. Habaragani. And a big shout out to all of our brothers and sisters who are tuning in tonight on the NBP New African Network Thursday night business broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your brother, co-host, Brother Eugene Talford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. One love, and we're going to look forward to getting into some very serious dialogue with you brothers and sisters out here tonight. One love, peace and blessings.
Yes, sir. Black Power, Brother Eugene, also on our panel tonight. We have our national chairwoman on the line, Sister Krista Muhammad, Black Power Queen. Can you hear us?
Black Power, National Chief of Staff, Brother Captain Sadiq, Black Power to our special guest, Brother Eugene Talford, brother and sisters, everyone that are listening tonight, we thank you for tuning in. Brother Eugene has some very powerful reports, some very timely reports that we're going to get into tonight. We want to remind everyone right after tonight's broadcast, you know, get your little nightly snacks together. And we're going to be going live at midnight doing the 24-hour fundraiser for Brother Ozone, a 24-hour fundraiser on the New Black Panther Party YouTube channel. So after you get off the radio show tonight, take your little break, you know what I'm saying, get your nightcap together and sit back and get your credit cards ready so you can donate. We're asking everybody that's listening to simply donate $20. If 6,000 people donate $20, we will have the balance of the $150,000 that we are raising to take care of his legal defense fund. That way, all we have to do is focus on the political mobilization for justice for the brother, knowing that we have solidified his legal team. We don't just have any legal team. The legal team that we have picked have an absolute winning record in the state of Florida. And with the type of charges that our brother is facing, we need to have the best of the best. Also, this is going to tie into tonight's broadcast. I mentioned the night before that I got my African ancestry DNA report back, and it came back that I am 100% of the bloodline of Guinea-Bissau, of the Balanta people. And, bruh, I am so honored to be one to be in the bloodline of such greats as America Brawl. And this is, revolutionary energy and blood has ran through my family bloodline. And I feel like I've been reborn at age 59. I'm seeking and learning so much. And our brother Eugene has a report to give us on something that's taking place in that region. And wow, it's just incredible how the Most High is making everything lay out. So with that being said, I'm going to pass the mic. Black Power, you have the floor, Brother Eugene.
Yo, Black Power, Dada, Dada Crystal Muhammad, we appreciate you. For sure, you are a strong warrior queen. And, we see with that Guinea-Bissau background, we see where you get that warrior spirit from these days. And a lot of that, man, is definitely passed through us through our genetic lineage that we have carried on through our ancestry. And definitely these are some dynamic things to really to speak of. And I know that's an extraordinary find for you to be able to learn that, sister. So, yeah, we definitely going to be making some trips over to the mother continent, hitting up Guinea-Bissau, some of the most beautiful and pristine beaches on the west coast of Africa, and has a lot of culture and heritage that we here in the diaspora can definitely tap into to further our journey and our spiritual realm while we're in the living, for sure. So, yes, as usual, this is the NBPP NAA, New African Network. Family, we'd like to give you a big up to all of our dynamic brothers and sisters who tune in each and every week to our broadcast. And we just want to say that we are extraordinary, and we are a black grassroots organization. We are united as one to help make our communities safer and better. And a big Asante, like I said, to Kaka Sadiq and Dada Crystal, and for allowing a brother to come on to the MVP and to relay important information to help enlighten our black community and to inform our community of what's happening in the Afro diaspora and worldwide. We are one united African peoples. We are one united Africa. So let's jump the night off with the nightly business report. And we're going to take a look at today's closing bell of the African stock market and the exchange. And, you know, the market was up and down this week, and we're going to kick it off with Ghana. So the Ghana Stock Exchange, known as the GSE, closed at 2,732.40. It was up by 0.15% as of August 5th. And year to date, it was up again at 790.81, and it was approximately 40.73% on the index year to date. Market capped out at 62.5 billion on the GHS. And so they had a strong market this past week. And we see Ghana is continuing to rise up in economics as the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution is taking place, with many of the construction and agricultural and mining projects taking place there. And so we give a big up again to Brother Nana Addo for being an extraordinary leader for the country of Ghana. So word up, brother, and we're right behind you. Next up, we have Johannesburg Stock Exchange. The JSE closed at 68,371.23. It was down by 0.76%. It was a decrease by 562 on the trading shares. However, year to date, it was way up by 8,962.55, and that was approximately 15.09% on the index. The market cap for today was 17.4 trillion, and that was on the closing index on the ZAR. Third up, we have Nairobi Security Exchange, also known as the NSE, closed at 175.89. It was up by 0.3% with an increase of 0.52. Year-to-date, the market was up as well, 23.78% with an increase of 15.63%. And at that time, the market capped out at 21 at the end of this month. At the end of today, it capped out at 2.6 trillion on the trading index. So they did fairly well with a great comeback on the Nairobi Security Exchange. Nigerian Stock Exchange, the NSE, closed at 38,801.51. It was down by 0.32%. It was a decrease by 126.32. Year to date, the market was also in the negative. It was 1,469.21. That was approximately 3.65% on the index. The market capped out to date at 20.2 trillion with shares being traded on the NGN. And so Nigeria still continued to do pretty good with the Dangote project taking place with the new oil refinery. It also has recently signed an agreement with the country of Morocco to extend out the oil and gas pipeline extending from Nigeria all the way up to Morocco. And so we're going to see a lot of countries being able to benefit from this energy production. And so far, Dangote has been doing great things over there in Nigeria. So a big shout out and a big word up to you, brother, and continue to move forward with the good work that you've been doing for the continent. Next up, we have the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. The ZSE closed at 6,816.08. It was down by 1.76%. The market had a big decrease as a negative 122.30 in the trade volume. Year to date, it was up by 4,179.74, which was approximately 158.54% on the index. And year to date, today the market closed at a cap of 812 billion on the ZWL. For a little history about the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange, it was first enacted in 1896 by a gentleman by the name of Cecil Rhodes. And as you all know, Cecil Rhodes was a big catalyst for the oppression and the enslavement of African people, the native Zimbabwean people during his time and reign. However, later on, the exchange itself was switched over to some new owners. That was after one of the wars that took place in the early 1800s, where a lot of the colonized countries were lost and picked up by other colonizers to take its place. But however, take a look at the history, and you'll find a little bit more information about the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange, the act in 1946. And so that's a great history thing. And it actually started out in a little town called Bulawoga in the country of Zimbabwe. And so that's it for the market cap. I hope everybody has been able to take that information and utilize it, and especially if we're getting into the African diaspora becoming a major part of the Industrial Revolution that's taking place there on the mother continent. We want all of you to look at the auspice of investing in various areas and sectors that will be beneficial for all of us as we relay our ingenuity, as we relay our monetary contributions. We'll find that we'll be able to move ourselves on into a higher plane of economics as we talk about black economics. Black economics is black power. And so we get into tonight's topic, the protecting of Africa and the escalation of attacks on African people, not just in the diaspora, but on the continent as well. And so Brother Sadiq and myself had talked a little bit about this earlier today and thought this would be a time that we can now sit at the table and discuss
many of the atrocities that are taking place as we are black people elevating ourselves up a part of the new breed leader generation. And so we see in places like Zimbabwe, as we are speaking about the trading aspects of Zimbabwe, we just recently found out that there were some Chinese miners there and was destroying some very important African historical sites. And as a part of the UNESCO site in Zimbabwe, totally ignored the history of the black man and the black woman, the history of black people. And so we continue to see the despise and the degradation of who it is as we are human beings. This is something that is very important and very dear to us. That's like, what if it was a bunch of black people landed on China and started digging up their cemeteries, their ancestral relics? Would that be kosher or not? And the fact of the matter is, it would not. This company is called Afro-Sheen. So we want to start boycotting Chinese mining company Afro-Sheen. They got some nerve, right? Afro-Sheen Cosmetics, Johnson & Johnson products. That's a damn shame, ain't it? But we're going to get on to a little bit more into the dialogue about all of this stuff as we, the discussion of the how do we go about protecting Africa and the escalating attacks on African people worldwide. You know, it just caught the French over in Madagascar trying to assassinate its president. Come to find out it was an oil firm behind the assassination plot called the Benchmark Groups. Benchmark Groups, along with the French government, has solicited €10 million to disturb the political atmosphere of Madagascar. Wow, what a shame. We continue to see this. Matter of fact, they come to think of it, the president of Madagascar was one of the main individuals who was against the COVID virus vaccination. As we see, too, as we are learning, the same with the Haitian president, Mosé, was against the vaccination. And there were many other African officials who did not see precedent in taking the vaccination for the virus, meaning that they had no pure evidence that this is something good for the people. So now we will be boycotting Benchmark Groups, oil firm behind the assassination plot, and hopefully we'll get some results out of that. As a part of tonight's broadcast, I also like to give Nigeria a big shout out for releasing information about his new digital currency that's going to be coming online called the E-Naira. E-Naira starts supposed to be actually kicked in with the Central Bank of Nigeria on October 2021. And so we'd like to see how that's going to play out in the very near future. And a big shout out to our brothers and sisters over there that are in the high-tech business that are trying to level up in African economics and politics. Mozambique and Rwanda, you know, it's been some really tough things that have been going on over there over the last few weeks with the scrimmage of so-called jihadists, El-Shabaab. Many of our brothers and sisters over there are feeling the effects from the scrimmages that they've been having. But there have been hope for dismantling the disruption with that, because as we are moving towards the unity of Africa, we must look at the auspice of patrolling and securing Africa, the well-being of Africa as its people and its resources. And as a part of this particular scrimmage that is taking place in Mozambique, South Africa, as well as some other surrounding neighboring countries have volunteered their troops to go in and to assist the people. This is something that we can learn here in the black community here in the United States when we start to see our own people out of control, policing our own communities, policing ourselves, make a better protection and make better confidence in a thriving community. We also want to give a big shout out to our brother, Michael Omar, CEO of Tunacheki Media Group. This is where we get a lot of our vital information coming from. This extraordinary young man who is a CEO of a large media group out of Africa. This young man has been giving and relaying information about everything from cultural to ethnic to business content. And this morning on one of his platforms, he had an interview with our very dear brother, Dr. Julius Garvey. Julius Garvey is one of the sons of Marcus Garvey, and he also had a co-host on there himself, Dr. Kevin Washington, who was a very recognized psychologist who deals in the psychological and the mental effects of neo-colonialism, colonialization on African people. And this gentleman, he and Julius Garvey, had some very deep conversation about breaking the mental chains of post-slavery and the minds of neo-minds, the colonized minds that we've picked up from our ancestral being here in oppressed nations, the oppressed nations of Babylon. And, yeah, so we're going to give that brother a big shout-out. I know he's definitely is walking in the same footsteps as his ancestor, his father, Marcus Garvey, and we hope to see him continue to bring forth his message to help propel the people into the upcoming African exodus. As we talk about news highlights in the African diaspora, the Democratic Republic, Republic of Congo is now building a $80 billion Grand Inga Dam. It is a major project that will comprise of approximately 8 hydroelectric systems that will provide an increase of about 40% additional energy to Africa. And this will be located in the Bundi Valley of the Democratic Congo, Republic of Congo. Later on in the conversation, as Brother Sadiq and Dada Crystal, as we get more into dialogue this evening, we'll talk a little bit more about what's happening in South Africa with Jacob Zuma being allowed out of prison, and Ramaphosa will be going on trial to discuss some violations that took place between the two men itself and the government of South Africa. So we'll see how this play off. And we definitely want to give a big shout out to our strong warrior brother, Julius Malema. And Julius has been a catalyst of keeping the people, the black people of South Africa, calm, and have been speaking with them about these matters way over time. And now we see the chickens have come home to roost with some of the violence and some of the riots that have been taking place in Africa, where these people have been deprived of their own rights.
That would be rebellions, not riots, rebellions.
Yeah, that's ahead, definitely brother. What it is. Yeah, definitely rebellion. And those folks, reparations are well overdue, long overdue. So we definitely want to see our brothers and sisters over there do well as they are caught in their own nation with Babylonian troops occupying their territory. And we definitely want to be able to see them have a better outcome. So we'll get back to that a little bit later on. And we'll get back to Zimbabwe. And then speaking of the Zimbabwe, when we kind of gave a little information about the stock market, how they were up right now, and they've been doing pretty good on the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange because of the chromium mining that they've been doing. And they just made a big announcement today that they were no longer going to be exporting chrome because they wanted to keep the product and actually take their raw material to a higher level of actually manufacturing right there in the country. So big shout out to our brothers and sisters, the New Breed Leader Generation, for getting engaged in taking back African resources, taking back African labor. That's what's up. I'll let you go back to the dialogue of tonight, and I'll pass the mic over to Brother Sadiq, and peace and blessings, everyone.
Well, this
and
is the dialogue. This is the dialogue. This is the dialogue of tonight.
All right. Now, well,
did
all
you
all
have a
–
Brother Captain was giving me a brief – Hey, man, we got a whole hour and 15 minutes. But Brother Ketchup was telling me you were briefing him about some activities going on in Guinea-Bissau. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, you know, they had a French military was caught in the territory on had to end up doing a forced landing. They said they had to do end up doing a forced landing to refuel. But anyway, got caught in their country, and they were the Guinea-Bissau government was trying to figure out what are they doing there, and were they espionage doing in espionage or some type of reconnaissance type of stuff that they did not know about. But anyway, they were captured, as well as some folks over there in Madagascar got captured. Haitian government captured some people. So,
well, all of these, the French. Is it France that have been invading all of these nations? Is it France?
Yeah, well, you know,
in
France
Madagascar?
Yeah, they've definitely been there. And, of course, these are all those Francophone nations, African nations that have been actually trying to gain their independence from the French nation, France and so forth. So definitely, you know, we want to see them take these people to court and see what type of outcome they'll get from this magnitude, this nonsense. So as you know,
I saw a video. I was watching the video. I've been consumed with all things Guinea-Bissau, and I was watching the video of some locals that was posted just about a month or so ago. There's a sister who has a YouTube channel. And she went to the different areas in Guinea-Bissau. She went into the island areas. They call them the Bajongo. And mm-hmm. It's like 18 islands off the coast of Guinea-Bissau in the Atlantic. And she went to one of the a couple of the islands, but she also hit some of the rural side areas in there. And it said that 70% of the country was still forestry, and the other 30% mm-hmm. is, you know, what they have cities and towns. And one thing I did notice is that, you know, that when you talk about building infrastructure, I did notice that, you know, the roads, except for in the main capital, Bissau, had the paved roads. But as far as mm-hmm. The other townships and even some of the streets within the capital, would need, you know, development as far as, you know, roads. But as far mm-hmm. as the spirit, mm-hmm. the energy of the people, I'm like, yo, I recognize that energy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they even
sure.
had a funeral procession where they were out dancing and partying the street like we do in New Orleans, you know, celebrating life.
Yeah.
You know, it's
that's
like we kept our culture.
Right,
we
yeah,
kept our
man.
Culture. But also,
yeah.
I also noticed
too.
How beautiful how beautiful the beaches were, and they had the major fish markets, and it's also their major market is fish as well as cashews. Cashews
mm-hmm,
grow there,
mm-hmm.
and mangoes and palm. So they do palm rum, palm oil. So, you know, these are some of the things when we go to the continent, and I have a direct destination. I'm laser focused on getting down there, but when you mentioned the word independence, that's what made me bring this up. One of the brothers that was in Guinea-Bissau, he was saying, you know, people talk about except when they gained their, people say they gained their independence away from the colonialists, and the brother said, we've always been independent. We've always been a free people. We just had to get rid of the invaders. He said, we kicked them off our land. You know what I'm saying? He said, they've always been a free people. They just have been bombarded and bombarded, and they had colonialists from Portugal as well as from France, and so but in particular the Portuguese, you know, and it's very strange because, you know, the U.S. propaganda, you know, on YouTube or on Wikipedia, it says that the official language is Portuguese. This is what it says on Wikipedia. Yet only 2% of the people speak it. So how can it be the official language when only 2% of the people speak it? You know, this is the how so-called white supremacists try to impose their culture on another people, you know, on our people. And so but most of the, a lot of people spoke Creole, but they had their own indigenous African languages. The Balanta has their own language. That is actual language, Balanta. You know, and so we are people who come from a great heritage. This is part of the great Mali Empire. You know, I look forward to when we go there to go to Timbuktu, which will be, you know, over in Mali, just, you know, but I mean, I feel like I'm reborn. There's just so much I want to know. But just the spirit, you know, they said that they would never, the Portuguese, all of the invaders, they could never colonize the people of Guinea-Bissau. Although they were invaders, they could not colonize them. They resisted. And so this is the way we are and must be and continue to be. We resist colonization and we resist neo-colonization. How you have nations on the continent of Africa with all of this wealth and all of these natural resources, all these beautiful people, and yet they live in poverty. That's because a few who look like us were doing the dirty work of the Europeans. And this is the thing that we are suffering here in America with these Negro-pean politicians, as well as that's taking place on the motherland. And the, so these are the things that we fight against. So, and that's why this Thursday night broadcast is so powerful, so necessary, and so impactful. And we don't, you know, we don't in no shape, form, or fashion marginalize it. In fact, I would say it is our most important broadcast as Pan-Africanists, as Black nationalists. It is our most important broadcast. All the things that we're talking about are very vital and very key. But as people of African descent and lineage, if our motherland is not free, how will we ever truly be free? And as strong as Africa is, we'll be as strong as we are. When we get to the point where we can call upon our African nations to defend us and to speak on our issues before the world and to declare our recognition of our independence as new Africans here, it will require an African nation or nations to recognize our independence. We are interdependent upon each other, not just independent. We are interdependent. Our bloodline cannot be erased. They said they checked my DNA for. They said it goes back to at least 2,000, a minimum of 500 to 2,000 years. You cannot erase DNA. We cannot erase the fact that we are descendants of Africa, regardless of what blood mixing or ever might have taken place. We know that the black gene, the African gene, is the dominant gene. So even if you had, let's do the math, even if two generations ago there was a blood mix, it just take one generation to dominate and wipe out the other mixing that might have come by, that most of the time came by force during the transatlantic Maafa, during our Holocaust. And so here we have a brother who is not only able to give us the business report, but we can get down to the business of being a part of the Industrial Revolution. As I was watching the videos, I was thinking about the different broadcasts that you did, and you talked about what we can do to bring to Africa, and what resources could we purchase from Africa and import here and sell here that would help with the economy of Africa. And this is how I'm watching and looking at things now. It's bigger than just, hey, this is where I'm from. I feel compelled to be a part of helping, just like helping right here on the land where we stand on, in which we too are the original inheritance of this part of the world as well. Don't get it twisted. When we look at the indigenous, who they call Indians, they look like us. We traveled all over the planet. We have been seafaring people. If the people of our motherland were agriculturalists and fishermen and traders, we traveled the planet in this area of my lineage with the Great Mali Empire. This is where Mansa Musa came from. He went all over the planet Earth. Are y'all listening? That means we would have settled in other places, and even deeper than that, even deeper than, I'm talking about resettled, but also look how old the planet is and how these continents separated. And we know that Africa was the root, is the only continent that is rooted into the core of the earth. And so our people migrated all across. The people in Guinea-Bissau, the elders said that they came from the territory from Ethiopia to Kemet and Sudan and went west. They were traveling. We've always traveled. What else you gonna do? You've been on the planet for thousands and millions of years. You think you're just gonna sit in the same spot? Hell no. We traveled. We moved. We traded. We set up, our people didn't just set up townships. What do we have, Eugene? We had empires and dynasties. These are the bloodlines who we represent. We had dynasties, empires.
All the way back to the land of Kemet. And that's where all the religions come from. The land of Kemet.
And before. Just think. Could it be possible? I would throw this theory in. Could it be possible that our ancestors moved back and forth? If you would go from a so-called primal, and then wouldn't you evolve higher and build pyramids? Just think, if we started agriculturally and in the African spirituality, could it be that the people went from the west to the east to the north? And constantly evolve? Of course. It would be evident. Or could it be, as they said, they fled and went into the bush because of warfare? Or could it be a mix of both? Could it be that our people got here by only the slave trade? Of course not. Because we know we'd always traveled. Why would Mansa Musa go to a strange land and bring resources to trade if he didn't know it was people to trade with? You're not going to just go and load a bunch of ships and armies of people just going somewhere on the blind. Would you do that? No, we wouldn't do that. If anything, you would send out scouts and scouts to come back. But how about we already knew the trade route because we had already done it? They have mounds in Louisiana old as the pyramid. In the Grand Canyon, they have the same temples as the in Kemet. There are mounds up along the Mississippi River. And the Mississippi flows like the Nile. Could it be? Yes, it is. We have always been traveling across the Atlantic, across the Pacific, across the oceans. We have always done so. Europe was always, or for the most part, was where if you violated the laws of the land, you were sent there as punishment. Europe is not even much a continent. It is still connected to the, it's only separated by a sea, the Mediterranean Sea. This was always all about territory. Why did Imhotep travel towards the Asia and the Orient, what they say? How were the Twa people in Ireland and Scotland? We always traveled everywhere. We have always been the indigenous of everywhere. This is something that we were able to relearn by some of the great works of Renoko Rashidi, Ivan Van Certain, Sheikh Anti Diop, Chancellor Williams, John Henry Clark. See, now that we've come into knowledge, we've been able to read and research. This is why the Europeans made it illegal, punishable by death, for us to read. Because once we were able to know and find out, you can never take this knowledge out of me again. You would never be able to, I would never be able to just think. I remember as a child, Brother Eugene, I always wanted, they would try to teach us Spanish and French. And I'm like, what's our African language?
Mm-hmm.
That even bothered me as a kid. I always wondered, where did we come from? Now that I know, they can't take it from me no more. I know my land of my ancestors. Not just the continent, which is beautiful to know that we're from Africa, but to know exactly where it has done something to me in such a great manner, in such a powerful manner.
Now just think, when you take that pilgrimage and you're able to spend time and fellowship with your people there, you're going to go into a whole new spiritual realm. And
exactly.
That's going to be another level right there for you, sister. That's for real. That's
yes,
real
sir.
Talk right there. Yeah,
and then
so,
to know
yeah,
these
the
old smelly French, the smelly French got they stinking behind, come back around there again. I'm so glad our people seized them. Oh, man. I'm so glad that we are not allowing, it'll never happen again. We will never be colonized. All of the things that they are so desperate, why are they so desperate right now? Because Europe, once again, is broke. America's broke. So a desperate man is a dangerous man. The Europeans are so dangerous right now because they're desperate. They backed into a corner. And we must stand up. We must stand up. We must not fall for the mistakes of the past and embrace them. We know they will never do right. We must resist all forms of colonialism and neocolonialism. And we must build and support one another. Even right here today, it is a colonial state of Florida that has our brother in captivity, Brother Ozone, a freedom fighter. Why does a person have to come up with $150,000 just to defend himself on false charges? This whole nation is corrupt. They say you innocent proven guilty. That's a lie. In this country, you are guilty until you come up with the money to prove your innocence. That is the more correct term. Because if you've been taken into bondage against your will, that is an implication of guilt already. And then you have to come up with thousands and thousands of dollars Who's got that? You got an extra 150 grand, Eugene? You got an extra 150 grand in your pocket, brother?
Hey, sis, I wish I had it like that to give out like that. You know what? You know what?
Some of us ain't got an extra $150. That's $150,000.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
So we
got to
pull our resources. Go ahead, brother Eugene.
We sure do. Yeah, and I want to tell our brothers and sisters this too, you know, and all of those who may be listening in, you know, we're the new breed leader generation. It won't be no more brutality without retaliation. That's where the new breed leader generation is coming in. I told you, we're not our grandparents. We're not our parents' generation. We are a new breed leader generation that's taking charge of our destination, whether it's here in America or on the continent of Africa, or wherever there may be African people, won't be brutalizing us without retaliation. Brother Ozone had to defend himself. Out of all the atrocities that are being carried out on African people in broad daylight without any remorse by the white racist crackers that we come up against daily, no more of that. You trying to bring forth war? You very well may get what you asking for. You better stop and think. Because we're not the same generation where you put your foot in your neck, you put your foot on the neck of our ancestors and broke them one by one. We are a one united African people. Oh, you thought we was just sitting back twiddling our fingers. You thought we was just going to let you continue on century through century and century and out another century. And here we go, a century after century, still getting our ass whooped by these fucking white people. No more. No, no, no. Things have changed now. Tables have turned. We don't give a fuck about your policies. When we see our young children dying in the streets, we don't give a fuck about your armies, how you want to go overseas and stomp out and oppress people on a systematic system that does no one good. Now you want to join the African Union, want to get in, rub shoulders with our African leaders. Right now we want to boycott Israel from joining the African Union as well. They want to get in and
Israel
join,
trying to join the African Union? What the hell?
You think we should allow that when they are oppressing the Palestinian people? Nah, new breed leader generation here today to let you know it ain't business as usual. We're living in times of the 21st century where we're trying to advance ourselves up against policies and redlining and red tape and discrimination, all because you can't compete on a fair ground yourself. Shame on you. You should be ashamed of yourselves as you've gone around the world for many centuries now imposing weapons of mass destruction on people, on an earth that we have to live on, destroying the environment, killing all the animals, being destructive in every manner that you can see this white man in his evidence of history. Come to the conclusion that we're sick of this. We're sick and tired of this, being sick and tired. We ask that our black men stand up as we unite together. We may have difference of opinion, and we may fight amongst each other, but it is time for us to defend ourselves and our resources. No more taking on the oppression and the discomfort of a white systematic oppressive system. We can't afford to do this no longer, where it is us who is in jeopardy, where you can
send us off to war every time you get uncomfortable. But yet, when our soldiers and our brothers and sisters come back here and still get treated like a second-class citizen, being beat down and shot and killed in the street in front of their children, we go to the Olympics and we bring back these gold medals and we bring back championships, all to make you look good here in America when we know the atrocities that you're carrying out, systematic genocide on our people, systematic genocide on Native Americans. Oh, you got a lot to pay for. When we call for reparations, we're not playing. You owe a whole lot, European white man, for your destruction and atrocities that you've carried out over the many centuries, and you think that your descendants are going to get off the hook? Oh, no, no, no. Your time is up. As we unify with each other, we will begin to bring forth the necessary legalities that are necessary to put you on the hot seat. You got a whole lot to be on the hot seat for. Even this weapon of mass destruction, so-called the COVID virus, many and thousands have been affected by a weapon of mass destruction leaked out of a laboratory, which it should never have been made in the first place. Going back to the Third Reich and the neo-Nazi, the Nazi reign of supremacy, where inventing and utilizing humans as guinea pigs for all kinds of experiments to destroy one's evidence of existence in life and in position as we are in, the position that we are in today. That was back in the 1920s and the 30s, from the First Reich and the Second and the Third Reich, that he had all these scientists coming together to create these weapons of mass destruction to destroy both human earth. They called themselves making leaping bounds in science and technology as they were going about discovering the new unknown. Unknown to who? Unknown to what? Now we pay the price as we all look at having to obtain some type of vaccination in order to keep us alive now. Is it population control? Who controls the population? Is it a governmental system? Because if a governmental system cannot defend or protect its people, then the people shall do so themselves. They will rise up and they will take control of their matters, and especially when they feel that their lives are in danger. We have been in danger for a very long time, the African community, the black man and the black woman. Now it's time for us to rise up and stand the position that our Almighty has given us. You know the Bible and the Quran so well? I think not. You need to go back and dig up some of those hieroglyphics, read some of those hieroglyphics in the caves and inside of the pyramids and on written on the pyramid walls of Kemet and in the pyramid walls of Egypt. You will find that the truth of the matter will come out about the religion itself. If we hear our great brother talk about saying Amen, Amen Ra, Cracker, every time he go into his church and he say Amen, he's saying Amen because a black man said Amen. A black man came from Amen. Paknada, Nefertiti, Hotep and Amun-Ra, kings like King Trahaka, those people who live at a time where we rule over the earth. We talk about King Trahaka of ancient Nubia, very extraordinary human being for his time, because he brought forth the science and the astrology, which we know today. As we speak about astrology, for those of you who are born in the month of August, you are now in the picture and in the realm of Carina, the nebula, the Carina Nebula, bright and large emission surrounding the Eta Carina, located in the southern constellation of Carina. This is a mass of a galaxy that our ancestors knew 12,000 years before the white man ever walked the earth. They knew. I'm going to yield the mic back to Brother Sadiq. One love, brother.
Brother Eugene, you're on the roll there, brother. Brother Eugene, man, you know, kicking his ballistics is just dropping it, you know what I'm saying, on this broadcast, and that's how it's got to be. We're hearing from our national chairwoman as well, Sister Crystal Muhammad. Black power to everybody that's listening tonight. Before I make any comments on everything that was said, I want to make sure that we have our regular co-host on, Brother Emmanuel, our chairman out of Houston. Can you hear everything, brother? Can you hear us? Black power, Brother Emmanuel. All right, Black power, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. We can hear you. Manuel, unmute your mic, Manuel. Emmanuel.
Black power.
There we go.
All right, yes, sir.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you now.
Giving all honor, yes, to those who came in the great line of divine before us, those that will come after us, and most importantly, those that are present at this moment. We greet you with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, King.
Thank you, Goddess. You were speaking about one of our greatest ancestors on this great night, man, and I thank Brother Katib, our General Katib, for bringing it like he's supposed to, bringing us the truth in the entertaining fashion, because we are entertaining people. And Brother Greg for doing what he does every Thursday night.
Brother Eugene.
Letting people know. I mean, Brother Eugene. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, Brother Eugene. Brother Eugene for letting the people know every Thursday night about our brothers and sisters on the other side. I just want to give a few facts that our brothers and sisters can go and look up for themselves. Because before you have what you have right now called American Africa, those two lands at one time were the same land. This is scientific knowledge of tectonic plates under the earth, things that you can't see shifting. And what it did was a long time ago, it shifted and it broke into two parts. And those two parts, after time and continuous shifting, is what you have right now. And you have one coast to the left and one coast to the right. It seems like the anatomy of a woman, because our queens have two breasts. So you wonder why they're only making one baby. Did God make a mistake? No. How was the original means of birth to be brought? Was it always supposed to come in as twins? Well, you know, we'll continue to speak on that and give y'all the facts of that, and it will surprise you. But you can still see it today. The remnants of the original ways of anatomy is women have two breasts. And so now this planet has two breasts, two continents, and the dominant is the Americas and Africa's, and you can see similarities in both sides. But there was a brother that y'all was speaking about, and this goes right with tonight's topic. The brother, you said, name is Mansa Musa. Mansa Musa, or however you want to pronounce it. So that brother is so magnificent in my eyes that it just, it moved me when you spoke about him. So I just want to throw in a little few seconds about our great ancestor, and then I'm going to pass it back to my brothers and sisters. And I thank everybody for taking out their time tonight to tune in. And for those that's going to work with us and do their due diligence for our comrade Ozone on tonight, beginning for the fundraiser. I'm in and I'm locked and loaded and ready. We with you, brother Ozone. We love you and all our other political prisoners of our movement, our family. I love you and we love you. Mansa Musa, real quick, 1280 A.D. Mansa Musa was the emperor of a town called Mali. This is a town in the western part of Africa. But this town, and this is
a
so
territory.
Crazy, we've been talking
a territory.
This territory. And it's so crazy. We've been talking about how the movies are showing the parallels. Well, you also have a movie called The Black Panther. And in The Black Panther, they have vibranium in the land of Wakanda. Okay, for all y'all that don't know, my babies that have just started, Wakanda is not a real place. It is not a real town in Africa called Wakanda, nowhere on that map. This is what they brought up as the name in this movie. Now, Wakanda in the movie had vibranium. And if you heard what the white man said in one of the parts, he said, man, they got so much vibranium over there. They've been mining it. Mining means digging into the earth for it for thousands of years, and they still haven't scratched the surface. Can you hear that? They've been mining in it for thousands of years, and they still haven't scratched the surface. That's how much vibranium was over there, and that was their strength of their power. In the Black Panther, they're letting you know that the black is and always has been the strongest because we had a substance. Well, this character is so similar to Mansa Musa because the territory of Mali in Africa during the 10th ruler, 1312 AD, this territory was known for the gold mines. Mali still to this day has gold so plentiful that they've been digging in it for millions, and they still ain't scratched the surface. So that y'all can understand why Mansa Musa had so much money. Their money is not recorded by this new world system. They're those type of people that are beyond trillionaires, and they know it. The whole world knows it. They've been knew it. When this man made that pilgrimage, which really is what brought him into the light that we know him now because it shocked so many people, this man made a 27,000-mile trip from where he was in Mali to the pyramids to Mecca because he was a practicer of the religion of Muslim Islam. And in the practice of Islam, every person that practices Islam is asked if they're able to within their lifetime financially to make a pilgrimage to the town called Mecca. And so by him being a Muslim, he had to make his Hajj. That's where you get Malcolm X's name, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. El Hajj means the pilgrimage. He's the one who made the pilgrimage. He's Malik, the one who made the pilgrimage of the Shabazzes. That's all that means. So Mansa Musa made a pilgrimage, and when he made this 27,000-mile journey, we wasn't around, so we don't know if those spaceships and all that, but from what they told us, that men at that time were still traveling across the terrains of the earth. So a trip 10, 20 miles down the road is going to take you some days. a trip 27,000 miles is going to take you a long time. But by him being so rich, his caravan that he took was so magnificent. This man took like 500 personal bodyguards, 60,000 people in total in his caravan. You ever seen the movie Aladdin, the cartoon Aladdin, what the genie made to make Aladdin look like a prince? Didn't look like shit compared to what Mansa Musa truly had. He brought all that and some. He brought enough food, water, supplies for 60,000 people to cover 27,000 miles there and back and be good. Think about what that would look like. They could cover land from one side of Dallas and be in Galveston, and they're walking. Think about that caravan, y'all. That's a lot of people. And they had lots of money because it is gold so deep in the smallest section. Mali is a small section compared to all of the rest of the planet. It's just a small section. But those rulers from long before, that is their wealth. And so the way Mansa Musa came into that wealth, let me let y'all know this, is the dude before him was named Abu Bakari Keita the second. And this dude did something almost just as amazing, because this dude was the emperor, and he said, okay, well, I want to go see what's on the other side of the Pacific, the Atlantic. I want to see what's over there. Now, some people say he went and made it to South America, what would be called some of the Haitian land today. Some say he made it, but in Mali, he was never heard of again, never returned. And he took a fleet of thousands of ships. He took like 6,000 ships, man. No, 3,000 ships with all types of wealth. If Mansa Musa did it in that, think about all the people before him and the amount of money. They had palaces and still have them built of gold. Of gold. That's the symbolicness of the vibranium. They got mountains of it and they ain't scratched the surface. And that is the power of their wealth. The whole world know that Mali is stupid rich. Nobody bothering them. They got enough to kill the enemy off if they wanted to. Just like in the Panther movie, they had enough vibranium for niggas to not have to be in chains. Why the fuck were we in chains? Think about it. Even with that movie, I break that shit down so much. No, you are Killmonger. You are the one that's telling them why y'all ain't helped us. Over it, the money in Mali, the wealth in Mali could have every nigga on the planet right now rich beyond belief and still not be at the scratched of the surface, at the top of the surface with the gold and salt. See, that's another thing that people don't tell them about. Mali is known for salt. It has salt mines also, just the equivalent of gold. And salt is in everything. It's in medication. It's in your food. It's in everything. You think the man
it
that
probably, it probably would have been more. It probably would have been worth more than gold, because we have to eat food, and that's how people were able to preserve food in a time where you didn't have refrigerators. Go ahead,
thank
brother.
And it is, goddess. You're right. Now think about if you got the salt and you got the gold. Why do you think these white folks kiss the Moor's feet? Every pope that comes around, that they are the highest of the white folks is the pope. Every pope that is made has to get on his own fucking knees
not an assistant, not a piece of paper put down under it. He gets on his knees and bends his back and puts his lips on the feet, whether they be bare or whether they have shoes on, of the Moors. Why do you think this ceremony has went on forever, but over here they telling you, you the bottom? But they kissing your feet, because they don't think you would ever know that. They don't think you would even care. But on Mansa Musa, so Mali got the gold, they got the soul, they got the wealth. Now, Abu Qari, he goes out and never returns. So the person who was his servant is Mansa Musa. And by being his servant, he came next in line. Thus you serve, then you rule. Thus you serve, then you be served. So Mansa Musa came in next and inherited it all. And what he did with it,
my brother got cut off.
Black Power. Yeah, it looked like he got cut off. Yeah. Yeah, he got cut off.
Yo. Yo, I wanted to he brought up a point I wanted to talk about, that we have to think, we have to study what occurred, and with the Holocaust, and on how these colonialists invaded. And this is why it's important that we tap, most of our people were kidnapped from the western coast of Africa. And Africa is so huge, you know, just think about how huge it is, you know, to be able to travel thousands of miles. That means the territory has to be vast, correct? I mean, even now, if you go from one side of America to the other side, say you go from California to Florida, that's not going to even be 10,000 miles. You know what I'm saying? Look how big this continent is. We've only scratched the surface, and we must study and know, and then go from studying, we got to hit the ground. But Eugene, you were telling me that you've been to, or that you've seen some of the great areas in Guinea-Bissau, and I was wondering, like, how could it be an area that was had one of the most richest, a territory of one of the most richest places, to now being one of the poorest places? And I just wonder, you know, and it could only be because of colonialism and neocolonialism. Am I correct?
Right, sister. Yeah, that's all it is. You know, it's just that the Berlin Conference really did a number on the continent. And definitely Sister Dr. Erykanna Turenberg-Fall, you know, she speaks of this quite often, how many of the effects of post-neocolonialization has on the continent, you know, even today, where you can see where there are nations who have a vast amount of resources that it could be utilizing itself, or perhaps utilizing to transform itself. And from out of poverty, we don't see that take place at all. But yet we see greedy puppet regimes, politicians, same thing that they do here in the United States. They get a black face in place, but yet they don't do the justice for the people itself, people who are being elected to represent the nation as a whole. But definitely, you know, Guinea-Bissau is a beautiful place. I have not traveled to Guinea-Bissau, but I traveled to Senegal, Mali, and the Gambia area, and it is just a beautiful coast, all the way down from Morocco, all the way down to the area of the Guinea region. You know, you have Guinea-Bissau, and then you have Guinea itself as a separate.
And then
nation.
Guinea Equatorial.
Yeah, you have Equatorial Guinea, but all of that used to be combined at one time, what was divided by the colonizers. And so that's what the people are looking to do now. They're looking to move those barriers. They want to get trading and things like that going on. They want to get back to being able to go across the border to see their cousins right next door. And, you know, the cousin might speak French, they might speak English or Portuguese, So all of that is as that new breed leader generation coming in, African generation coming into play, new measures are coming forth where getting our dialect and language in place. And that's when we talked about a few weeks ago utilizing Kiswahili as the African language to unite us. There won't be any tribal divide. There won't be any language barrier such as English, French, or Portuguese, or Spanish that we'll be speaking. We'll have the control of our own language and dialect, which will help enforce the unification of our black nation.
Oh, Brother Eugene, also when I was watching this, because this, like I said, this YouTube broadcast that I was been watching, it was just posted, you know, just a few months ago. And so this is recent, and it reminds me of how you've been speaking about the importance of the ECOWAS nations and getting rid of these artificial borders. So the sister and the brother, they were traveling from Gambia. Like you said, it borders Guinea. Actually, I stand corrected. I remember this. They actually call it Bissau Guinea. We in England, in America, we say Guinea-Bissau, but correctly it's Bissau Guinea, like Equatorial Guinea and Guinea. But they were coming from, I believe it was from Gambia. They were going like from Senegal to Bissau Guinea, and the border was simply a police checkpoint on one road.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're going on the road. And so it's a continuous road, these artificial borders. You got Guinea and Bissau Guinea. And then you have Senegal. So they were coming from Senegal, right, to go down to Bissau Guinea. And this border was a checkpoint of police. And the police were wanting, they kept telling them different amounts of money to pay them to cross. It's one dirt road. It's just one dirt road. They got these police checkpoints, and they wanted you, and they wanted you to pay. And they want, when she got to one side, I guess coming from Senegal to Bissau Guinea, she had to pay. She said it was four different police checkpoints, and each time they were asking for different monies and asking, well, how much you got? And they got to it was a point where they didn't have, then the money rate changed, the currency switched, so they had whatever currency that they had. And they needed the franc or whatever for coming from Senegal to Bissau. So this currency affected them being able to even just go 2 feet across.
To move around.
To move
and
around
then also,
2 feet. And then they had to go back to the embassy, get a visa, then go back and get the visa, then go just to go 2 feet across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then the money changed. And then they want to change how much they want to charge you. But then you have, and but then they wasn't allowed, but then you, then, but they wasn't allowed to, then they have military, not just regular, I'm talking about with choppers. They got them things, them AKs right there. You're not getting ready to argue with people. You know what I'm saying? And then I was also researching about, it was so heartbreaking, about them warring between Senegal and Guinea, Bissau. They the same people, artificial borders. But it's because the colonial nations had them fighting and killing one another.
Yeah, it's like
the
they
same
don't know
territory.
They don't know they're related. You know, they just don't know they're related because that, again, it gets back to having chains on our minds from post-slavery and colonization. And you see that play out every day. Dr. John Clark talks about that quite often in many of his documentaries. And so do our brother Khalid Muhammad. He talks about it as well. And that's something that we have to really concentrate on these days as a part of our educational piece. Black people, as our education curriculum, we must unlearn some of the things that we've learned and relearn and teach ourselves what the true matter is of it. You know, when we hold that power of knowledge, when we possess that power of knowledge, you know, we're able to put ourselves more into a liberation mode than ever. But yeah, you know, Guinea-Bissau is a beautiful place. It is a land of the archipelagos, where you have many islands off the coast. And it's one of a few nations in Africa that has a very pristine beach coastline, very light blue water, and it goes all the way down to Sierra Leone, Liberia area with that type of water color. You only see that light blue color on the other side on the east coast, which would be some parts of Zimbabwe where you see Zanzibar and all that kind of stuff. You'll see that light blue water like you do in the Caribbean. But for sure, it is a mineral wealthy country that has been decimated from years of colonialization, and the people there have been trying to get their investments in place to where they can level up. So that very well may be a great partnership for people in the African diaspora looking at a place to go to and invest. It would make a great tourist development area of Africa. That coastal line, like I said, with those pristine beaches, would definitely make a great tourist outfit. And of course, with the resources that the country has itself, gas, oil, gas rich, could be some opportunities there for exploration. Brothers and sisters who are in the high-tech arena, also brothers and sisters who may be in the agricultural fields, could go there to help streamline commercial agricultural activity. Cocoa and a little bit of everything grows there. You know, you throw some seeds on the ground in Africa and ba-dow, you know, in a six-week time period, you know, you got a whole crop coming up for little or no effort a lot of times. But certainly what we have here to offer is our educational experience and background, not taking the colonized mind of the black person to Africa, but taking a genuine business concept, unification, as well as getting ourselves reconnected spiritually with the lands of our ancestors. And that means a whole lot to us in these days and time, because spirituality in a man, a woman, is easily broken. And it comes from the experiences that we often have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But as we are conscious now, we are definitely not wanting to fall back to sleep after the awakening from someone such as Donald Trump. So we want to thank Donald Trump for waking up the black community. That was well overdue. And we want to get back to some grassroots things that we needed to do for ourselves, and basically pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps to really make some things happen for us in this century and time. And so, yeah, we're making big history right now, and it's going to be made even more big of a history move when we solidify our business relationship with our brothers and sisters on the continent of Africa. And that's what we're leaning towards now, is the unification of ourselves, connecting business to business, and growing a new and improved Africa, and growing a new and improved black African man and black African woman. That's what it's all about today. Black power.
Black power. Yeah, I mean, another thing I saw, you know, they have this huge fishing port, and, you know, all of these, this market where all of these people, you know, selling this fresh fish. You know, it's like, we want it for nothing in this land. We want it for nothing. I mean, you got an ocean just full of fish. They can just grab fish. They grab them. Along the other little swampy areas or riverbank areas, they had crabs and you know, other seafood. But, you know, this is a natural economy. And it even said that people, this, as far as the currency, people actually will trade with cashews. Like, it's really broader and still going on. I'm like, wow. And then, you know, as far as the, just how beautiful the energy, I mean, I'm just watching from the TV, but it was emitting, you know, from the TV, but I just wanted to see, you know. And so I know you're not gonna get me to stop talking about it. You know what I'm saying? I get that. Oh, I'm so excited, but I'm saying, but the fish market, that's what I wanted to say.
I'm really
the port
for you, man. That's what our brothers and sisters need to be doing. You need to get out there and get your DNA test done so you will know exactly where your roots and your heritage lie at. You know, if you
it
are,
was worth it, man. AfricanAncestry.com.
Yeah, that's
look,
what's
but
out.
Also
that's
I wanted to say
is.
The port at the port the what troubled me was they said that the port there was all these construction cranes going and they were saying the Chinese are building and developing the port. I'm like, oh fuck, ain't that some bullshit? Why the Chinese?
Yeah.
That should be us.
Well, you know, because they're betting on those contracts. You know, we talked about this on several of our programs. You know, they get out here and they see these world contracts come up. And they get in there and they outbid, and they bid for these contracts and they outbid their competition, and they're able to get into Africa to do a lot of these large major projects that are going on. So yeah, we got.
And it ain't a bunch of equipment that they got. They got like two cranes over there. Like yo, we can pull our money together and get a couple of cranes.
Yeah, it don't take much.
It's not like it's a vast project. And then the dollar to the currency, it's like
mm-hmm.
a quarter to the dollar. Your dollar
mm-hmm.
will spend four times more. So, yo, we could easily, yo, look if we pull our resources and we get, you know, a half a million dollars, it'd be like $2 million there. We could do so much.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We can do so much on the continent itself overall together. And as you mentioned, the unification of the ECOWAS nations, the economic communities of West African states, as they are beginning going through a political exchange of lowering the barriers down, not just for international trade, but allowing people to go back and forth across the line without having to obtain any type of visa or going through some type of horrific borderline search. If I'm not mistaken, I believe you may have been watching that sister named Tigress, the African Tigress, where she had her,
yes,
her
that's
problem.
Her. That's it.
Yeah, you know, Brother Eugene is connected over there, so I know a lot of them brothers and sisters over there be YouTubing because they be hitting us up on the New Africa Network, and they've definitely been trying to get tied in and connected to much of the stuff that we've been challenging information that we've been exchanging on the network. And so, yeah, these brothers and sisters are doing some very dynamic stuff. Also, we want to give a big shout-out to Brother Wudamaya. And I believe Miss Trudy, Brother Wudamaya's, I think it's his girlfriend, or she may be just friends or something like that. Miss Trudy is from Kenya. Brother Wudamaya is from Ghana. And we talked about them on a couple of our programs where they've been going all around Africa and relaying vital information about many African nations all over the continent. And they've been showing the positive side of Africa. Miss Trudy is here in New York, I believe, for about a week or so. And she's here with commentary from her YouTube program. And so we give a big up shout out to the sister while you're here. We hope you're having a great time. Don't get too comfortable over here in the United Snakes of America, because we need you in Africa to continue to promote our brothers and sisters and encourage them to come over to Africa. So that's what it's all about. So a big shout out to you, and hope you're having a great time.
Well, we didn't drop so much information. We didn't drop so much information from the stock exchange to the history that Brother Emmanuel was dropping, to the current affairs that Brother Eugene has dropped, to my personal testimony as my voyage to learning about my ancestral culture and existence, you know, and reminding everyone that we need you, we don't want you, we need you to tune in tonight at midnight to go to the New Black Panther on YouTube, click. Go into the search bar and click the new Black Panther Party channel. You get to that channel, click that channel at midnight, and we will be going live from midnight tonight to midnight tomorrow, and we're doing a simulcast, meaning we're going to have multiple networks broadcast at the same time. And this is this was the brainchild of Brother O.C. the Great. It was Brother O.C. the Great's idea that we do a 24-hour fundraiser to raise the money for Brother Ozone. Why do we need to raise $150,000? Because that's what it's going to take just to get the legal team together. Not to mention, once the legal team is in effect, if he gets a bond, we're going to need to raise another $100,000. That's $250,000. And you know how I know we can do it? Because the people did it for Grandmaster Jay. And so I know they raised $289,000. And then something happened with that fund. I don't know. It's not our business. And they raised another almost $100,000 for them. That's damn near $500,000 was raised. So we can do the same thing, and we will do the same thing for Brother Ozone. It is our goal to do it tonight. And if we fall shy of the goal, we will do it again. And again, and what we are doing, it is the principle that we learn and speak of during Kwanzaa called Ujima and Ojama. We are uniting an African economics as well as our resources. And this is a collective work. So you have Boss Talk Podcast, OC the Greats Podcast, Major TV, the New Black Panther Party, a group called the Black Community Against Police Brutality, and you got the comrades who initially set up the We Stand for Ozone website, Brother Remy and the comrades out of the Duck Squad of NFAC, and hopefully we'll have other people chiming on and linking their broadcast, because we're making an open invitation. But right now we have these five networks are going to be running a simulcast. So the New Black Panther Party will be broadcasting for 24 hours straight, linked along with OC the Great for 24 hours straight and Boss Talk for 24 hours straight. We're going to have people coming on. We're going to have special hosts. But we invite you to hit the link and come on. And see your face and show your support. But most importantly, we want everybody to donate within a 24-hour period at least $20, at least $20 to the We Stand for Ozone site. We are showing unity. And this is also Kuji Chagalia. We are being self-determined. Yes. We're pulling our resources. I know none of us have a 150 in our pocket, but enough of us, look, 6,000 people dropping, because so far we've raised 30,000, a little over 30,000, maybe like 33. And so that's what 500 donors, I think the brother said. So if 6,000 people give a minimum of $20, we can raise that $120,000. If 1,200 people give $100, we could raise it. You know what I'm saying? If 1,200 people give $100, we could raise it. If 12,000 people give $10, we can raise it. But we're going to ask that you dig a little deeper and go on and get that good credit card, good debit card, and go to WeStandWithOzone.com and make your donation so we can get this money. And don't worry about it. We have to pay the lawyer a total of $150,000. They're going to take the down payment of the $30,000. And then we have to work. We're going to have to, you know, scramble to get the rest of the money over time period. And so why don't we just knock it on out? That's what we're asking us, our people, to do. And if you can't stay up all night or the 24 hours or you got to be busy, do it now. Go to WeStandWithOzone.com and click that donate button. And let's make this happen, people. Let's make it happen. Now, with that being said, you know, we know this channel needs resources and support. But if you were going to give us a donation to the New Black Panther Party, we ask that you catch us on the rebound and at least make that donation to WeStandWithOzone.com. And if you got deep pockets that can go a little deeper, then by all means, send us a good cash out to Black Power Dollar. But we want you to focus. We want to be focused. We don't want to give too many instructions. We want to be laser focused. And pull our resources in this next 24 hours and reach our goal. Can we do that, black people? I hear all of the people that are listening now, and you can be way across the country, anywhere. I believe that visas still work. Am I correct? Can you be in another country? Brother Eugene, you're more of a world traveler than I. For those who are listening from other parts of the world, does that Visa card or MasterCard still work?
Yeah, it do.
All right.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Just that simple.
If you in Kenya, don't be trying to pull that. We understand the language wrong people all over. Don't be trying to pull a my credit card don't work.
That's what's up. That's right, Black Nation.
That visa still didn't do the job, boy.
Yeah,
I'm fired up,
like,
and we ain't even started, man.
$20 going towards a contribution like this, it's not going to break or make anything. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to break you and take that $20 out your pocket and send that to Brother Ozone for the Brother Ozone Defense. It's going to help us out as a nation of people to get our level up with our own justice. You got to pay for your politics, and you got to pay for your justice, you know. And this is one of the things that we can do for a brother that is in need. The brother was defending himself. And, of course, like I said earlier, you know, we've been seeing these atrocities happen by these white racist police officers that are wearing the badge and supposed to be defending the people, but they're wearing the badge so they can go out there and kill the people. And when the people have to rise up to defend themselves, they need monetary blessings in order to do so. So, yeah, we do just like all the rest of them. And the police, when they get one of theirs and to get harmed or need to go to court, they come together and they raise money for these people. Look what they did for Zimmerman. Look how much money was raised for Zimmerman to get him off of the Trayvon Martin situation. So definitely we can do even better. So let's rise up as a people and come to bat, come to the table, and come to the bat for our brother Ozone. One love.
One love. That's right. That's right. Young Gun, we got 4 minutes. Take us out.
Hey, Black Power, man. I'll tell you what, it's been a powerful broadcast. I'll fire it up, too, for tonight. Man, we got a chance tonight to hear on this Pan-African broadcast every Thursday night from our special guest, Brother Eugene. Talk very special. We meet it in the literal sense of the word. Great power. Black Power, brother.
Black
Thank
Power.
You, Gene. We also hear from our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad, who ever since she's received her DNA ancestry result, it has is just at least another fire in our queen. So we glad to hear that, Black Power, as well. It's always good to hear our freedom fighters excited and in good spirit when you look at all that we go through and all that we deal with. And again, we heard from our regular broadcast co-host, Brother Emmanuel out of Houston, Texas, our chairman down in Houston, Texas. Y'all know we got to keep it live every night here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Now it's time, drum roll, family, drum roll, get ready. Because at midnight tonight, we will be broadcasting 24 hours. It's a campaign that we incur the resources that are necessary that our brother sees the best legal defense possible in dealing with this wicked criminal regime. No, we are so humble, right, to be taking on such a great task for such a great brother. Go to YouTube, Type in the search bar, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense channel. You will see our logo. Click it. Like, subscribe, and share all of the content on our YouTube page. Man, it's going to be so powerful. It's going to be so powerful. So you don't want to miss it. And get ready. Get your credit cards ready from the west coast of Seattle back all the way to New York, from the top of Canada down to Chile and all around Africa, diaspora. And as y'all heard,
yeah,
there ain't no reason, because that visa still hitting, even that visa still hitting in Nigeria, still hitting all over the world. So everybody has something they can do. And if you ain't got the dog, we are for sure you have the time. So it doesn't matter. Everybody has something to do. So let's get ready, family. Now, maybe about a week and a half ago, we played a clip from Asafa Shakur, our great warrior queen, and she talked about how we need to be, you know, acknowledging our revolutionaries today, and she gave a bold statement, you know, maybe, though it's brief, a bold statement on freedom from Mumia Abu-Jamal. So that is how we will take out our broadcast here tonight. We thank you for joining New Black Panther Party Radio. Tune in every night at 718-664-6398. Visit our national website. Join the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, nbpp.org. Black Power family, tune in just 3 hours live on YouTube. Black Power for our simulcast. Free Ozone. Free Ozone, Black Power family.
Free Ozone.
I'm Asafa Shakur. The first time I heard a tape of one of Mumia's radio broadcasts, it was the first time I fully understood why the United States government was so intent on putting him to death. I make a special appeal to you, sisters and brothers, to fight tooth and nail to save Mumia's life and to free him from the grips of his oppressors. As you honor our forefathers and foremothers, I urge you to honor our living heroes. When you honor the names of Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, and Malcolm X, I urge you to honor the names of Geronimo Gijaga, Sundiata Okoli, Mutulu Shakur, and Mumia Abu-Jamal. I urge you not to forget and not to betray our living heroes. If we ignore their struggle, we are ignoring our own. If we betray our living history, then we are betraying ourselves. We could not save Malcolm X, but we can save Mumia. We can save him, and we must save him. Because we love our brother, and we need our brother to help us fight for freedom. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Free all political prisoners. Let us carry on our tradition to freedom.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, with Yoshi, a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks in